Shalom Aleichem Rabbeisai. We're going to continue Be'ezras Hashem, Tiferes Yisrael, of Maharal, Perek Shlishi, the third Perek. We're trying to do a Perek a day. Be'ezras Hashem, let this Shir be the refuah, a zchus for all the cholim of Klal Yisrael, a zchus for all of Klal Yisrael. I will also specifically say refuah shleima to Reb Shmuel ben Etel, and Chaya Etel. That's Reb Shmuel Miller, the son of Reb Avigdor Miller, whose yahrzeit was today, who I understand is ill and needs a refuah shleima. Let's begin. The Maharal is continuing to build up the building that we began seeing over the last 2 days. He's introduced us to the idea that man is actually a spiritual being operating in a spiritual zone, although he seems to be part of the earth world. It's really just the shell of the real man. And that man was actually created incomplete for the purpose of perfecting himself. Now the Maharal goes on further and starts developing a point that we touched on further. He says, when a man understands his own greatness, when a man understands what it means to have a neshama, the neshama, as we discussed, is the greatest thing, kiviyochol, in existence that Hashem created. And it's kiviyochol, a term that we use is chelek elekami ma'al. It's something godly. It's the closest thing to Hashem that exists. And that's why we are considered, so to speak, kiviyochol, Hashem's family, Hashem's kin, kiviyochol. So he says, wait, don't get too proud yet. Don't get too happy about that yet. He says, don't say, okay, I'm such a great being, and the place, the setting for such beings ultimately is Olam Haba, Hashem's closest circle, family around Hashem's table. So that's it. I'll enjoy my time here, and then I know where I'm headed afterwards. He says, wait. You are not a finished product yet. You're not a finished product yet. You have to complete the production of this very, very great being that we're calling Yisrael, that we're calling a neshama of Yisrael. And he says, this is something that distinguishes man from anything else, from the malachim and from the earthly beings. There is nowhere else in existence something that has yet to bring itself to its perfection. And he says, I can't explain exactly what he means by this. This is esoteric. But he says that the malachim are already in a state of perfection. They're created as perfect beings. There's no room for them to improve. They are perfect beings. Okay. Now, earthly things, he says, they are not perfect, but they are inherently incomplete. They're earthly. That means that they, by definition, are incomplete, and they don't get any further than that. Man is the one being that is in an incomplete stage, but can become perfect, can perfect himself, and is expected to do that. But if you just leave it now, if you just leave it as is, you will remain something raw, something incomplete, something imperfect. And that's what the neshama will be. And now he gives a very fundamental, a very profound pshat, which is a famous pshat of the Maharal. Man is called Adam. Why is it called Adam? Adam because he comes from the Adama, comes from earth. So the Maharal asks a question that many ask, and a number of answers are given. We're going to see the Maharal's classic answer here. Why is man called Adama? Why is man associated with earth more than anything else? Everything in earth comes from the earth. All animals, all insects, all birds, everything, all plants are also earth. Why is specifically man called Adama? So the Maharal gives an interesting twist, and he says he's not called Adama because physically he comes from the Adama. He's called Adama because of his likeness to the Adama, because of his likeness to the Adama. Earth, the earth itself, is the greatest example of something barren that holds immense potential. You see just fallow earth, you're seeing something that right now is just nothing, there's nothing there, but you can come back years down the road and see magnificent orchards there. The earth sprouts up things. The earth contains immense potential, and very, very great things can sprout forth from the earth. That's what the essence of the earth is. And he says this is why man is called Adama, because man is mamish like fallow earth, but if you come back later, you might see that this sprouted into magnificent, immense trees. That's why man is called Adama. Not because of the fact that the flesh comes from the soil, but because man is similar to the earth itself in this way. And now he goes on and he says, Behema, for example, Behema is called Behema because it's a combination of the words Ba, Ma. Beis, He, Mem, He is a combination of the words Ba, Ma. Ba, Ma means what it is. Basically, I guess we translate that is what you see is what you get. Whatever's there is what it is. Whatever's there is what it is. Meaning, you see a cow, you see the whole picture. You see the whole picture. It's programmed from the moment it's born, it's programmed until its death is mapped out. There aren't going to be two ways about it. It's going to follow its natural instinctive route. All cows follow the same route, and all lions follow the same route. They're all going to live by their instinct. You know, you know exactly where their life is going to go. Their development is predictable. It's all very clear in the first place. And this is the distinction between animals and men, and the truth is, as the Maharal is saying, between everything, even the greatest heavenly beings and men. Man is something that his physical development is also something you can predict, but the question is, what added layers of greatness is man going to add to himself? It's not something natural, it's not something instinctive, it's something that's in man's hands. You've never heard of an animal that decided to grow, to become something greater than it naturally is. But this is the essence of what man is. And this is the difference between the term Adam, as Adama, as earth, something that can produce something so much greater than meets the eye, and the Behema, which is Bama, whatever is there is all that it is. By man, it's very much like, not so. Whatever is there can be much more. Okay. Now the Maharal goes on to develop this further in a very profound way. Man is meant to bring himself to his perfection. What does that perfection look like? What is perfection? How do you know when you reached it? Can you reach perfection? Now the truth is that I want to preface a little bit before we move on. The Maharal says something very, very profound, which is really a very fundamental understanding of this whole system that we call life, avodas Hashem, or growth, the three are really synonymous. When you look at the demands of Yiddishkeit in terms of growth, in terms of what it expects you to be, you can despair. If I want to bring this out in a tangible way, we know next Yom Kippur the Vidur that we're going to be saying. Right, we're going to say all the Alchets. We've told a couple of times about a classic letter from the Rambam, a classic letter from the Rambam, where somebody wrote to him, a chacham, a certain chashuv, a person wrote to him a letter before Yom Kippur saying, I'm going to have a problem saying Vidur this year. I don't know what to do because I didn't do any of the Averis in the Al-Khait this year. I didn't do any of those Averis. Now, we hear that, we might chuckle, but apparently this person was at a high level, and he was really attesting that, last time he said the Vidu, he took note, and he decided to work on these things. He had not transgressed any of the things that we confess for. So the Rambam wrote back to him a very classic letter, which deserves a lot of elaboration. We're not going to really get into it now. But the Rambam wrote back to him, and he says, if you would truly appreciate, if you would truly appreciate the extent of our obligation to Hashem, you would realize that, well, first of all, he starts in saying, you can comfortably say vidu, it's fine. And then he says, if you would truly appreciate the extent of our obligation to Hashem, you would realize, now listen to this, he says, that not one day goes by where you don't transgress every one of the averis listed in the Al-Chit. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Okay, I understand that I'm supposed to be growing all the time. What does that mean that I... And you see from the Rambam's expression that he took this person seriously, that he considers him a person of a high level. You see from the way he writes to him. What does he mean by saying that not one day goes by that you don't transgress everything there? What does that mean? Do you bribe judges every single day? Any of us, are you in position to do that? And I think many of us can list a number of things that we don't do. Are we all busy committing adultery? What does it mean that not one day goes by that you didn't do these things? So the Rambam goes on to explain that every avera has its more subtle levels and its more subtle levels and its more subtle levels. Just to use one example, we'll give one or two examples just to illustrate the concept. No, you didn't bribe any judge in the last month. You never bribed a judge in your life, but you might be operating with bribery all the time. You might be bribing yourself. Negias, when you're partial to different things, decisions that you're making in life may be influenced by desires here and there. You might be looking to what should have been a purely moral decision is actually being jaded by financial considerations. Pride might get in the way. These are more subtle forms of bribery. We talk about Gilei Arayos. Nobody's committing adultery. But perhaps inappropriate behavior in different situations, which can have very, very finer and finer levels, for you might be considered that. Lashon Hara has finer and finer levels. So the Rambam basically says you have to understand that all of the averis listed have much finer levels, and that's what I mean when I say that you're always transgressing them. Okay, that's a very profound point that deserves a lot of attention. But now I want to turn it around and say, if so, you know what? In the first place, we don't stand a chance. Because the Rambam is saying, inevitably, you're always going to be transgressing it, right? Otherwise, maybe this person, Taka, reached the level where he's not even transgressing the subtle ones. But basically, we're being told, you know what? You can comfortably rest assured that for the rest of your life, you'll be able to say Vidui every Yom Kippur. You know why? Because you will be transgressing. At some level, you'll be transgressing every day. Okay, so what does that say to me? That says to me that in the first place, you don't stand a chance. There's no way to really make it to a place, to really get to where you're supposed to get, because you'll always be told, no, on a subtle level, you're still not perfect. On a subtle level, you're still not perfect. So you know what? Here's where the Maharal comes with his very, very fundamental explanation of what is our perfection. And I want to speak this outside first, and then we'll see how the Maharal puts it down. The understanding is that, you know what, it's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. It's true. Hashem set, let's start a step before. Hashem set up a system for us to succeed in. Hashem set up a system that we can succeed in. And yet, nevertheless, we'll never reach absolute perfection. How could that be? How could that be? And the answer is that on the contrary, perfection means to always be reaching higher. And therefore, the perfect system that Hashem set up is such that as high as you get, Hashem will provide you with higher levels of growth. So on the contrary, when we talk about imperfection, we shouldn't think of that in a negative way. Because yes, Hashem set it up such that there's always more to do, there's always more to do. Being imperfect is not a problem. As long as we're alive, we're going to be imperfect. Hashem will always set higher goals for us as long as we're alive. The problem is only settling for imperfection. The problem is only being complacent with it and saying, all right, this is what I need. As long as you're moving forward, that is the perfection that Hashem expects of you. to constantly be moving ahead, to constantly be aiming for the next level. When you get to the next level, Hashem will show you a higher level. That is Hashem's system. There will always be higher levels to achieve. There will always be more subtle levels to continue working on. And the more you grow, the more you'll sense. I mean, when I was 9 years old and I had a day off and my mother would send me to my room to daven, and you know, I cut corners here and there and have the siddur open and maybe read a book or something until she'd catch me, whatever. That they are, they see that there's a lot more that they should be doing, and they push themselves further. And that is itself the perfection of man. That man spends his life perfecting himself. That's why when we talk about Avodas Hashem, perfection is not an absolute term. There's relative perfection. A person reaches what he viewed yesterday as perfection, now he needs to perfect himself further. You spend your life perfecting yourself, and that's what makes you the perfect person. And this is what the Maharal goes on to say. The Maharal goes on to say, man is created incomplete. What makes him perfect? What perfects him? What brings him to his completion? So he quotes a classic pasuk, Adam la'amal yulad. Man is created for amal. We generally translate amal as toil. And it's true, amal is toil. But what's the difference, let's say, between amal and avoida? Avoida also means work. It also means toil. What's the difference between the two? So the Maharal says that the word amal doesn't exactly connote toil. Let's say, for example, a person is toiling to plow a field. He plows the field, and then the field is plowed. That's not amal. That's avoida. Why? Because toil that has an end goal, toil that has a finishing line, is not amal. Amal means open-ended toil. Amal means toil that does not reach a finishing point. You never get to the end. Like if you want to think of an example, let's say exercise. You don't reach a place where you say, okay, I graduated. I did all the exercise I need to do, and now my body is in perfect shape, and I'm done. Exercise would be an example of amo. What completes you? That is your perfection. We spend our life growing. It makes no difference. The finish line, you'll always see the finish line ahead of you. It'll always be moving further as you grow. And when a person leaves this world, he'll also be seeing further things he would. Yeah. That baby is complete. And first he says it kind of like in a mathematical kind of way, and then he gives a very interesting take on it. First he says, we have a rule that says, we know the famous concept of oynes. Okay, what's it going to help that child? He won't be held accountable for anything. But he didn't gain his completion. Maral says, no, he's actually has gained his completion because when he hit 13, he would have put on tefillin. Oh, he did put on tefillin. He would have put on tefillin for 70 years. He did put on tefillin for 70 years. He would have learned Torah. He would have grown. He would have worked. He did learn Torah. He did grow. He did work. He did all those things. And therefore, he is considered to have lived the life to have completed himself. And then he goes on and says something interesting to just give some perspective on it. And he says that the truth is that it's only refusing to grow that leaves a person incomplete. Okay, this is already a very subtle concept that deserves its own elaboration. We won't get into it now. But let's just sum up what we've seen tonight. We saw two nights ago, the first parak taught us that man is actually a divine, godly being operating in the godly realms, in the godly zones. Last night, he taught us that the way it works is that man is created and complete, and he's given the task to complete himself. Today, the Maharal stressed and impressed upon us that otherwise, all of your godly state is not going to be worth much if you left yourself in that incomplete state. You have to bring yourself to perfection. But here his chiddush was, what is that perfection? What is that perfection? That perfection is amok, constantly growing, constantly aiming for the next level, not letting yourself just sit. A person who lives his life trying to perfect himself has reached absolute perfection. This is such a fundamental preface, such a fundamental understanding to the whole, anybody who's moving into this whole system called Avodah Zarah must understand this, because otherwise, like we said, people become dejected when they just see endless levels of expectation that they never feel they could reach. And you know what? What we're saying is on the contrary. Your perfection is to constantly be aiming for those levels, and that is your perfection. Okay, we'll end here. We'll unmute.